a radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Hello and welcome aboard the Paul Gallant Show on this Friday. Friday, gotta get down on Friday, April 25th, 2025. And ask Gallant anything Friday. You can ask me any question. I'll work it into the show. I don't know how many people know this about me, but generally, last night is one of my favorite nights of the NFL offseason. I love me some NFL draft. I've brought this up before. I'm a sentimental type. I think it's really cool to see young men, way better at football than I was growing up, dreaming that I would be in the NFL catching passes from Tom Brady someday, get to realize their lifelong dream. You see guys like LSU's Will Campbell up at the podium, so happy that they have finally made it to the National Football League. It's a cool night. It tugs at the old heartstrings. So I was excited, very excited to watch last night's draft. Hell, you know what I did before the draft? I watched the movie Draft Day, starring Kevin Costner. Oh, yeah, I watched that movie. People think it's not a good movie, and maybe they're right. Arian Foster's in it, does a pretty good job acting. Whenever I watch that movie, you know what happens? I tear up at the end. I'm actually not joking around on that. I tear up while watching the movie Draft Day. And I was looking forward, as I watched the first round of the NFL draft last night, to tearing up when the Houston Texans announced whoever that they would take with pick number 25. So I sat there, and I waited, and I waited, and I waited. Maybe there's going to be a trade-up. No trade-up. So I waited, and I waited, and I waited a little bit. And then all of a sudden, son of a biscuit-eating bulldog, the Houston Texans traded out of the first round.
You get nothing.
Damn it, Willy Wonka. What the hell? Nick Caserio. I watched all of that. I watched all of that for my heartstrings to be tugged at. You gave me nothing? I mean, that was a long day. And I did a live stream at 3 a.m. that morning after Rockets and Warriors on Wednesday. I stayed up all that time for that? That's it? Imagine having gone to the Texans draft party at NRG Stadium. Once again, you're getting blue balls. Is this what it's like to be married? Serious question. Is this what it's like where there's teases and hints at, you know, relations with the significant other after the spark has perhaps died out? RiseHealth.com, R-I-I-Z-E health.com. Get some strips, by the way. But is this what happens? Because this is what the Texans do to us. The Texans, they're giving us deep steel blue balls when it comes to the first round of the draft. Did you know this? Did you know that the Texans have only had three day one picks in the last 8 years? Technically five, but they've picked in the last 8 years just three times in the first round. 2018, nothing, because that was the Deshaun Watson trade. 2019, they get Titus Howard. During the offseason, they trade for Laremy Tunsil. No first-round pick 2020. No first-round pick 2021. 2022, they get Derek Stingley. Huzzah! Kenyon Green. 2023, C.J. Stroud, Will Anderson. Last year, nothing, because that was part of the trade-up to go and get both of those guys. And this year, they trade out. How dare they? I wanted something. And instead, for the second straight year, per chocolate connoisseur, chocolate salesman, wonder how the tariffs are affecting him. Willy Wonka, what do I get?
You get nothing.
Not cool. I wanted something. I really wanted something. I didn't get it. Alas, earwax. Anyway, it's not like the Texans weren't trying to trade up in the draft. We had heard leading up to the draft that they were looking to move up at some point. And I guess it could have been that the Texans were just doing their due diligence, calling everyone that they possibly could. Here is Nick Caserio after last night's draft, meeting with Houston media, and after the Texans traded out of the first round in a trade that got them a good amount of picks from the New York Giants, he's saying that he's feeling pretty good.
I don't want to say we talked to the whole league, but we probably talked to the whole league on every different level. So, you know, there are some players that we identified, some were out of reach. You know, some, you know, in the end, trades are a byproduct of teams willing to make a decision to move or not. So, you know, we fell at 25. You know, that was the best thing for us. Puts us in a pretty good spot. 2-2s, 3-3s, picked up another 3 next year. So, I mean, we'll deal with tomorrow. We think we're going to get some pretty good football players tomorrow. We felt like the value to draft was basically in the middle. So we'll try to take advantage of our opportunities here tomorrow.
The trade that the Texans made with the New York Giants, who traded up to go and get Jackson Dart, was their pick, number 25, to New York in exchange for picks 34. That's the second pick tonight. Pick 99, which is a late third-round pick, and a third-rounder in next year's draft. It's a pretty good return. You're trading back from 25 to 34. You move back 9 spots, and you pick up 3 extra picks in doing so. I guess technically it's 2 extra picks to move back 9 spots, but you get what I'm trying to say here. So they looked at the board. They realized a lot of the players at positions of need were gone. Kelvin Banks, who they supposedly wanted. The Saints took him 9th overall. That was supposedly well ahead of where he was projected to go. Tyler Booker from Alabama, the Will Anderson of the Alabama offense, he went to the Cowboys at pick 12. The other linemen off the board, Will Campbell, who we mentioned earlier, Armand Membu from Missouri went to the Jets, 7th overall. Gray Zabel, a North Dakota State guard, went to the Seahawks. Donovan Jackson, who the Texans were maybe thinking about at pick 25, goes the pick ahead of the Texans, 24th overall to the Vikings. They really like Donovan Jackson. They probably would have traded up to get him, knowing that the Vikings obviously are going through some turnover themselves on the offensive line. And then after them, the Washington Commanders, who traded for Laremy Tunsil this offseason, they draft Josh Connerly out of Oregon. And the last pick of the first round, which I'm glad the Texans didn't make, I thought they might be thinking about it, was Josh Simmons, a tackle from Ohio State who's dealing with a patellar surgery. So, you know, do you want another John Metchie situation on your hands? Not so much. There were some receivers as well that were taken in the first round. Obviously, Travis Hunter goes to the Jaguars. That's probably the big move of the first round. The Jaguars getting really ballsy, trading up. Ted Arroyo McMillian, who was on our big board, to the Panthers, number 8. Colston Loveland and Tyler Warren, the two tight ends, go 10th to the Bears, 14th to the Colts, respectively. I wonder if both Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones would be better served as tight ends. Just a random thought. Emeka Egbuka, Ohio State battery mate with C.J. Stroud, 19th to the Bucks. Matthew Golden, who was flirting with the Texans on social media, a couple of picks before the Texans as well. Some people were frustrated about that. From Texas, he goes to the Packers at 23. So a lot of the guys that you thought that they might be interested in were off the board when they finally were there. They trade back. They didn't get as much as the Rams got in exchange with that trade that they made at the back of the first round with the Falcons. But the Falcons seem to be run in a silly fashion. And I think that the Texans probably looked at how the Giants clearly wanted Jackson Dart. I don't know how many people saw this, but Joe Shane, his kid, who was, I believe, featured in the offseason Hard Knocks. Well, this kid posted a Jackson Dart highlight reel on Instagram and then set his account to private. These guys got to step letting the kids in the building, right? Whether it's the Jets and Brick Johnson or the Giants and Joe Shane's kid just posting a reel of Jackson Dart. Sean, what are we doing here, kids?
I will say last year, I think from Hard Knocks, he was, I think it was Jane Daniels, right? Who they ended up not even having the opportunity to draft. But I think that was the guy he was like, I would go as like a whatever 13-year-old kid.
Right.
I will say, one for one. Kid's got a good eye.
Kid's got a good eye.
That makes me feel better than about Jackson Dart than watching him play at Ole Miss. Although he did put up crazy numbers, but I'll just never forget the end of the Florida game where he throws three straight interceptions in two possessions.
And cries.
Cries in the middle and then cries after.
That guy's supposed to save the Giants' job. Brian Daboll likes him. Joe Shane clearly likes him. Okay, good luck. I don't know if he's going to save your job. They're saying Russell Wilson's the starter. Yeah, also good luck with that. But to bring it back, I bet, because we know Nick Casario loves trading, I bet he was aware also of the pre-draft rumors about how the Giants like Jackson Dart. But that's the final. That's the cherry on top. Oh, Donovan Jackson just went off the board.
Yeah.
Let's make a trade immediately with the Giants. Jackson Dart still on the board. Let's make a trade immediately with the Giants because their little pee pants kid is out there on social media posting highlight videos of Jackson Dart and then setting his profile to private. Listen, the Texans are pretty good at social media, so I'm pretty sure that they made Casario aware of that in some way, shape, or form before the draft. So they trade back. They get pretty good value in return for that. They did try to trade up. I know a lot of people are frustrated that the Texans didn't move up to go and get one Kelvin Banks. The Saints took him really early. They would have had to give up a lot to go get him. And then two, Tyler Booker, who the Cowboys took. Well, it seems like the Texans actually made a phone call to the Cowboys about trading up to that number 12 spot. This is from the Cowboys draft show on 105.3 The Fan last night.
Apparently, and this is coming from those within the building, Houston was the team that was on the clock.
Yeah.
Or that was on the phone.
Yeah.
Houston was the one that wanted to make the trade. Apparently, it was a low ball offer initially. Steven called back, wanted something more. Houston said no. So that's where the kind of breakdown happened from a trade scenario side. And they decided to stick and pick with the guy that they had very high on their board.
So the Cowboys stay at pick number 12. They take Tyler Booker, who we think the Texans were interested in. The Texans did their due diligence. I said before the draft, I trust Nick Casario. Whatever he does, I'm going to co-sign it. At that point in the draft, a lot of the guys that it seemed like they wanted were off the board, and they're in a spot right now with the second pick in today's second round, third round, where they have five picks today. And per Casario at his press conference afterwards, okay, maybe they don't get Kelvin Banks, they don't get Tyler Booker, the guys everyone said that they loved, but he was asked if the player he was thinking about drafting at 25 is still on the board. This is a strangely transparent answer from Casario.
You said you all were ready to pick at number 25. Was the pick that you all might have picked, is it still on the board?
Good question. Actually, one of the players that we were talking about is actually still on the board. Yeah, so it's a good question. So whether or not we actually pick the player, like, we'll see if that actually happens.
Who do you think that could be? 713-780-3776 to call to text. Sean, any ideas?
I don't know. Because the offensive linemen, like, we kind of went over the first-round offensive linemen. They all went before the Texans picked at 25. So could it be, like, a wide receiver? Could it be either Harris, the wide receiver from Ole Miss, or Burden, the wide receiver from Mizzou? Just kind of going next on what we think the needs of the Texans are. And those are guys that could have been first-round picks. I don't know. It really is interesting. Maybe it's not a position need. Maybe it was straight best player available.
I think it might be best player available.
So, like, Will Johnson, cornerback from Michigan.
Man, no way they draft another corner, though, right?
Maybe that's why they ended up trading back. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why they ended up trading back. But
so,
we'll see.
Here's, based off of Sean, what I'm looking at NFL.com and on ESPN.com.
The best available?
The best available guys, everyone agrees it's Will Johnson, for the cornerback from Michigan, is the number one best available guy.
I think he has some sort of medical red flag.
That makes sense.
That's why he's fallen.
There's some edge rushers. You can never have enough edge rushers who are still available.
I think the Texans actually have enough.
I agree on that front. There's a defensive tackle, Darius Alexander from Toledo. There is a running back. And again, I have no idea about any of these guys. This is just who are supposedly at the top of the board. There is Trevion Henderson from Ohio State at running back. Another running back, huh? Shedeur Sanders is still on the board.
There we go.
It is wild that Sanders is ninth best available on ESPN. On NFL.com, he's like the 30th best available, which I was surprised by, at least in terms of their actual draft grade. So we'll see what they do. What do you think they'll do? 713-780-3776 to call to text. On YouTube at ESPN Houston. On Twitch at ESPN 975. So it's an Ask Alon Anything Friday. You can ask me any question. I'll work it into the show. Two, on the other side, we'll talk about the other things that happened during the NFL draft. And if you want to weigh in on what the Houston Texans did last night, which was a late round trade before the draft and trading out of pick number 25 in exchange with the New York Giants for pick number 34, second pick tonight, pick 99, a third-round pick, and a 2026 third-rounder. They'll have five picks tonight. You can. You know how to do it. It's the most interactive sports talk show in Houston on an Ask Alon Anything Friday. Stay put. But first, let me tell you about my friends at a little website that we like to call risehealth.com. R-I-I-Z-E health.com. So they've been helping me out already because your boy has a terrible receding hairline that makes him look like Vegeta from Dragon Ball Z. But now they've got something for everybody because, listen, we want to have that spark for all our lives. But then you lose it, maybe. It could happen to me at some point. It's embarrassing. So why not take care of it discreetly, online, with board-certified physicians? Just order it over the phone and get something that's brand spanking new because that is what Rize, R-I-I-Z-E, has to offer. They are introducing an entirely new way to rise up, you'll rise up, swing. It's called a rapid enhanced dissolving strip. It's not a pill, so you don't need a full stomach. You don't need water or anything like that. It combines sildenafil, tadalafil, and oxytocin, and you blend it all together, and some afternoon delight might be on the table. You go to risehealth.com, R-I-I-Z-E health.com, to look for their REDS Max, okay? These strips, you put it under your tongue, you're going to be having yourself a good old time. Reignite the spark. Rise up with Rise Health.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston on an Ask Alon Anything Friday. The Texans did nothing in round one of the NFL draft for the fifth time in the last 8 years. They traded out of pick 25. The New York Giants moved into that slot to take Jackson Dart, the quarterback from Ole Miss. They get in exchange, the Texans, pick 34, pick 99, a second and third round pick this year, and a 2026 third rounder. They have five picks for today in the draft. Those picks are pick 34, the second, pick 58, a late second round pick, pick 79, pick 89, and pick 99. So it should be a pretty active night tonight, which you can watch as you're watching the Houston Astros try to keep that winning streak going against the Kansas City Royals. Since it is the most interactive sports talk show in Houston, let's talk to the people. Camden, did I get that right? Camden was at the Texans draft party last night. Camden, I'm sorry. I hope that you at least had some fine beverages and some snickety snacks.
No, it's okay. They made such a big deal about that for about a month now, right? And it wasn't at NRG. It was outside George R. Brown.
Oh.
Everything was hyped. Everybody's having fun. Everything is good. About pick four, it starts pouring
down. Yeah, I thought it was raining last night. So it was outside? Ugh.
Yes, outside. Pouring down raining. So from around pick five until pick that maybe like 17.
Oh.
It's pouring down raining, right? Everybody's like running for cover, hiding underneath the, you know, the awnings and all that. So finally, right there, we're getting close. Everybody sits back down in their wet seats. You know, everybody's hyped up. Everybody's excited. It's pick 23. You see the Texans cheerleaders line up. Everybody's excited. Crowd's pumped. And then all of a sudden, you see, boom, we've traded. Everybody at the party got up and just left.
That sucks. I didn't know, Cam, that it was outside. You were a trooper for hanging in there that long. Because normally they would hold it in NRG Stadium, and appreciate the phone call. It did rain last night. I was talking to somebody that I matched with on an app, and she was out walking her dog, and I'd asked her, do you do umbrella or no umbrella? And she said, umbrellas are for meow. And I was like, oh, okay, that's fun. Feisty one, huh? It looked like it was pouring, though. So, yeah, that would suck. It was out at the George R. Brown Center, and then they trade back. I guess the lesson is don't go to the first night draft party. I mean, they haven't picked in five of the last 8 years.
Yeah, unless they have a top pick.
Like, right. Yeah, that, Sean, unless it's like pick top 10. And even then, I mean, when you're drafting towards the back of the first round, there's a little bit less excitement. You feel pretty good about the team. Yeah. You're looking for that finishing piece, but generally towards the back of the first round, are you getting somebody that you know you should be excited about? No, not really.
You're yeah, like, top 10, it's all about like hope. This is like a future all-pro, like a franchise changer if you're getting a skill position guy or an edge rusher. But once you get, again, like past like 10 or so, right, most drafts, maybe like 12, 15 in some drafts, after you get past that, it's like you're in the danger zone of not just it being a disappointing night, but maybe your GM just trades out of the first round altogether.
Yeah, and that's what happened.
Yeah,
I don't mind it. I trust Nick Caserio. Wood's got a thought on Nick Caserio and the Texans trading back. Wood, what you got?
You done lost your mind trusting Nick Caserio. Ain't no way in the world I trust Nick Caserio.
Why not?
He think he's the smartest person on the block. And he don't realize just because you got book sense don't mean you got common sense. Every year, he's messing our number one draft picks up. Last year, he gonna get up the number one draft pick and trade it, then get a second round, go get Diggs for the second round. Then we had Diggs on the contract for 3 years. He renegotiated Diggs' contract for 1 year. Now we don't even have Diggs no more. Then before the draft this year, this roster go make a trade. And what you trade them 6 rounders or 7? Who the care? What do care about them late rounds? Then you get up in here, and everybody who traded the first round, at least they get a first round back. We don't even get a first round back. We get a second round. They get a first round back if you're going to trade the first round. But he ain't got no common sense. What do he want to get five? He got first round picks. He trying to be too smart. And y'all want to talk about the trust in Nick Caserio.
Yeah, I trust him.
I don't trust him. I don't trust him what he's doing with his offensive line. He's bringing in all these people and hoping that with magic here, we're going to hopefully put an offensive line together. No, we're going to be struggling on the offensive line because of Nick Caserio, y'all trusted. I'm putting this stuff together.
Wood, I appreciate you calling back in because I remember you called before one of the playoff games. I'm upset, though, that you're upset at Nick Caserio. I mean, do you think that there was somebody there that they needed to get? I think they tried to trade up to go get the offensive lineman you were talking about, but the asking price to move up was a little bit high. To what you were saying, I did wonder about, hey, where would the Texans be had they not traded the second-round pick for Stephon Diggs? That is certainly something fair to wonder about. They would have had an extra piece of ammunition to potentially trade up. I also wonder where they would be if they had Laremy Tunsil still, because it's not like they got that much more ammunition for him. But you're so mad right now, Wood. I don't think Nick Caserio trading out of the first round last night merits being upset.
It don't, man. We got great players in the first round that you can get and make something happen with. But every time you look around, he don't value the first round like I do. He don't value the first round like other teams in the NFL and other fans realize because he thinks he's so smart. But they ain't got no common sense. I got players that ain't got common sense. And I got to tell them, man, sit your dumb ass out.
Wood, do not be a stranger. Please get yourself a margarita. Have yourself a good rest of your Friday. Appreciate you calling in, man. Oh, boy. That was a funny call. I remember Wood called in. I think Wood went to the Texans-Chiefs game, and I think he predicted a win. That is a very passionate Texans fan out there. I don't have an issue with them trading out of the first round. I think you should trust Nick Caserio for the most part. I mean, look at what he's done. They drafted C.J. Stroud. They drafted Will Anderson. Last year, they got Kamari Lassiter in the second round. They didn't have a first-round pick last year because they made the trade-up to make both of those picks. He got Nico Collins in the third round. He got Jalen Petrie in the second round. Derek Stingley Jr. Sure, the offensive line hasn't been great, but, I mean, go back and take a look at all the Texans' picks at offensive line. It's not just a Nick Caserio problem. It was a Brian Gain problem, a Bill O'Brien problem, a Rick Smith problem post-after he took in 2012. Brandon Brooks and Ben Jones. Like, I just don't have that same energy for that. But I love Wood's energy on a Friday, got to get down on Friday, ask a lot anything Friday. Even though some of the call was unintelligible because I think his connection wasn't great, still, the passion,
yeah.
Like, you understood the passion. Wood did not like that the Texans traded out.
Yeah, and I think that Caserio definitely doesn't deserve the benefit of the doubt, specifically with drafting offensive linemen. And, the like you said, the Diggs thing might have been, I don't know about outsmarting yourself, but it's a little bit of, it was just bad luck mostly that digs towards ACL. It was good.
Completely bad luck. Like that trade failed because of the torn ACL.
And that happens.
But I can't get mad at anybody there. The restructuring of the contract, sure. I mean, it would be nice to have him on the roster. But hey, Diggs might not be good next season too. I mean, the Patriots are going to find out whether or not he's good. They're the team that signed him. They probably overpaid him.
And it's the draft track record of offensive line in a draft where they definitely need to pick some offensive linemen. That's where I still am like, all right, dude, like, let's see. Let's see.
Exactly.
But it's, I mean, trading down. I mean, the Falcons trade, Kasari must have been so mad when he saw the Falcons trade trade up and trade a future first-round pick for the 26th pick in the draft. He must have been like, come on, are you kidding me? They had to do that the pick after. Now everyone on the radio, including myself right now, is going to be like, why didn't you just trade with the Falcons instead? Why didn't you trade with the Giants?
Call those bozos. We know the Falcons are silly. I mean, the Falcons traded up. I don't know.
They traded from 46.
They traded from 46. They gave up the 46th pick.
A future first.
And wait, hang on. Yeah, sorry. I hate how they write this out. They should just put it like a chart so that I can see the picks a little more simply. But basically, yeah, they gave up pick 46 in the second round, a 2026 first round pick.
That will definitely be higher than 26th.
Right, because they're not going to win a Super Bowl this coming season to make this pick. And I looked very long and hard because I saw there's character issues with James Pierce Jr. His concerns pertain to his on-field drive and attitude along with his maturity. So they drafted two edge rushers the Falcons did in the first round. The Falcons are clearly silly. Like the Michael Penix drafting after signing Kirk Cousins, silly. Yeah. This, silly. I suppose this is something Nick Caserio should have in the back of his mind. But they did find the other team that was desperate to get their guy. I mean, making a move with Jackson Dart, with the Giants, so that they can get Jackson Dart. Based off of all the intel that we had going into the draft, which wasn't that much, everyone knew the Giants wanted Jackson Dart. Yeah. And he got a pretty good return to move back 9 picks. He got three.
Yeah.
3 day 2 picks.
That's the big difference is that they only moved back nine spots to have the 34th pick as opposed to moving all the way back to 48. Now that future first, would you like to have that? I don't know. That's where I get a little – or we get a little too into like always pushing the can down the road. It's like, well, they do need to add players in this draft.
Yeah.
So I would like draft picks in this draft to – add said players, or Lance was talking about this morning, that they do have 5 picks today. He would be surprised if they make all 5 picks. Obviously, Nick Caserio loves drafting. So he could see a situation where they use some of the ammunition to trade up within the second or third round to get a guy that they really want.
I could see them trading up. I could also see them trading into next year's draft to stack up some more picks. I think something to remember from the press conference that Caserio did on Thursday, we touched on this yesterday, Caserio does feel very good about this team where it's at right now. He thinks that they have a lot of depth. I think we would all question that from an offensive line perspective, but I think he has done a pretty good job putting this thing together. I'm hoping we see some offensive linemen selected today, though. The guys that they wanted off the board in a spot where it would have been tough to get them. And when you don't have a Laremy Tunsil, there's a little more urgency to do that. And when you're missing one of the second round picks that you had because you traded for Stephon Diggs and Diggs tore his ACL, the trade ends up being a failure. You look back into an alternate universe and you wonder, okay, would we have had enough ammunition to move up in the draft and still feel good about it if they had that extra second round pick? Because it would have been pick number, I think, 56. Which is a couple of picks after where they would have picked tonight. Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in Houston, on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. You can ask any question, 713-780-3776 to call to text. We're going to be talking about the Texans draft, I imagine, all show. They traded out of the first round. They moved out of pick number 25. They make a trade with the New York Giants, and in exchange in that trade from the New York Giants, you know what they got? They got themselves 3 day 2 picks, 2 of them. Today, they have now, for today, pick 34, pick 58 in the second round, pick 79, pick 89, and pick 99. Also, in the third round, in a trade where they traded pick 25 to the Giants for picks 99, and a 2026 third rounder. Up next, is Jimmy Butler going to play tomorrow night for the Warriors against the Rockets? a rather amusing injury update for Butler that definitely bodes poorly for the Rockets long term, but makes things look pretty good for them tomorrow night. You'll hear what that is next. Stay put.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk. Is the Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5
from the Veritex Community Bank Studios? Here's Paul Gallant.
It's an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. Last night, the Texans made a trade with the New York Giants. They moved out of the first round. They traded pick 25 to New York, who took Ole Miss quarterback Jackson Dart, the second quarterback off the board. Kim Ward went first overall to the Tennessee Titans. I think the Titans had a backwards number for Cam Ward's jersey. Just something to remember going forward. What a great organization they are. The Texans got from the Giants the second pick tonight, pick 34. A third-round pick, pick 99. They also got a 2026 third-rounder. So tonight, right now, they have five picks. They also have pick 58, pick 79, and pick 89, along with the two picks that they got, pick 34 and 99 tonight. The Rockets play the Golden State Warriors tomorrow night in San Francisco. Tip off 7:30, ABC. Kind of bummed out that the Space City Home Network isn't going to be out there. It's been a little annoying that we are being tossed a different announcing team for every single game. And listen, I love Kevin Harlan. It was awesome to have Kevin Harlan for game one on Sunday, on Easter Sunday. But, okay, now we got the big guns from ABC. We definitely had the C team, I think, for TNT on Wednesday. So it was nice to get the Space City Home Network alternative with Vanessa. I'm not going to lie, I'd prefer the Space City Home Network broadcast to ABC. That's just me. But hey, to each their own. Jimmy Butler, of course, was upended by Amen Thompson in game two. If you've listened to me, this was clearly not Thompson's fault. The Warriors have even acknowledged as such. We went through the replay several times. Steven Adams pushes Amen Thompson through Draymond Green. Green was holding him by the right arm. He falls down to his knees, falls into the back of Jimmy Butler's legs. In case you didn't hear the Warriors call of that, even the Warriors broadcast acknowledged this was an accident. Warriors fans really got panties in a bunch over this, acting like this was a blatant, vicious cheap shot.
12 rebounds in game one. Man, come on, man. Jimmy Butler is undercut, and that fall hurts.
You know what? Amen Thompson got tripped. He obviously didn't do that on purpose, but that is scary and dangerous. And Jimmy Butler landed right on that tailbone.
So Butler, who was an Iron Man in game one.
So he landed on his tailbone. When we were at Toyota Center on Wednesday night, it was told that he suffered a pelvic contusion. Here is the update per Shams Charania on Jimmy Butler. Quote, Golden State's Jimmy Butler has been diagnosed with a deep glute muscle contusion. His ass? And his status for Game 3 against the Rockets is in serious jeopardy, league sources tell ESPN. This is best case because the MRI showed Butler avoided any fracture or structural damage. If he's not able to play, that probably means Jonathan Kuminga. Steve Kerr and Jonathan Kuminga seem to have an interesting relationship. I think he had missed the three games before he came into game two, where he played 26 minutes.
I mean, he didn't miss them. He was DMP coach's decision. Oof. For two must-win games, the last game of the season,
right,
the play-in game,
yeah,
and then game one of the Rockets series, he did not play.
Interesting.
And then Butler gets hurt and he plays, what, 15, 20 minutes?
Mm-hmm. Butler doesn't play game three, I'd be shocked if the Rockets lose. I do think Butler will be back in this series. It's a butt injury, not a pelvic contusion. Pelvic contusion? No. This is ass. Dad ass, though. It's the fleshy part of the thigh.
One time only, you heard? Fleshy part of the thigh, like you said.
Have you seen The Sopranos?
7,000 here.
You know, Bobby Bacala gets hired to shoot a rapper who's trying to get some street cred. Fleshy part of the thigh. Just shoot him in the fleshy part of the thigh. Now, it doesn't go so well for said rapper who only offers $7,000 to Bobby Bacala, who's a professional. In case you didn't see this scene in The Sopranos, here's how it all goes down eventually. So Jimmy Butler is dealing with an ass injury. I mean, that does bode well. You know, a glute injury, I mean, that's the thickest muscle that all of us have for the most part, right? Outside of the flat-assed among us. Your boy's donking up a storm. So, you know, I think I could play through a deep glute muscle contusion.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm playing flag football game, I could get back out there.
Yeah, it wouldn't be that deep for you.
Right, exactly. It wouldn't be that deep. Sean, we're talking about a donk. Baby got back. Paulie got back. Big old back. You would think, though, that this wouldn't keep Jimmy Butler out at all. This is not me calling out Jimmy Butler. This must be a very deep glute contusion, because I'm assuming that all basketball players, all football players, all athletes that are playing a sport that involves as much jumping or explosions, I would assume that these guys have big donks. Paul, why are you talking about other men's butts? First off, you must be new here. Second, it's just surprising that a deep glute muscle contusion could theoretically keep him out. Jimmy Butler, I have some advice for you. I know you are from the greater Houston area. Do not call Deshaun Watson for advice on how to get those deep tissue injuries massaged out. Do not call Deshaun Watson. We like you, Jimmy Butler. We know you don't say that you're from Houston. You're from Tomball. Whatever. Tomball's basically Houston. Don't call Deshaun Watson, okay? Please don't.
26 people that he can refer me to.
He's got 26 references. Oh, they've all blocked me. I don't know why. That's the worst part about the Watson thing. Like, Watson seems to have no idea why people thought the things he was doing was creepy. So we'll see if Butler's back out there. If Butler doesn't play, man, his name is Butler.
I just realized that too. Jimmy Butler.
Ah, it's funny because butt.
And he hurt his butt.
He hurt his butt.
Something jumped up and bit him.
Butt.
Is your butt hurt?
Butler. That's my attempt at doing Beavis and Butthead. You're welcome, everybody. Fantastic impressionist right here. My tally is a lot better. You missed Tally yesterday, Sean.
Oh, I did?
You missed Tally. It was fantastic. We might have to play the clip of Tally a little bit later. But Jimmy Butler has a deep glute muscle contusion, and his status for tomorrow night's game against the Warriors is in serious jeopardy. There you go. It's an Ask Alon Anything Friday. 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston. On an Ask Alon Anything Friday, this is just a mean comment. I don't know if it's a question. Mr. Mills asks, why does Paul look like his parents are cousins? Hey!
That is a mean question.
That's really mean. Come on. You know, to quote Roger Goodell, come on. Come on. He did it. He did do it last night.
Yeah.
I knew he would do it. He's riding out onto the stage on his stupid bike.
Yeah.
What a dork.
I flipped on the draft right. Like, the first thing I saw was him on a bike, and I was like, oh, my God. Like, I literally I think my TV was still, like, on super low volume, too. So I was like, I'm not even – I saw him talking. I'm like, I'm not bumping up the volume until Cam Ward is on the stage.
Right. Oh, God. It's the absolutely worst. From the 713, I think you need to check your anatomy, Paul. He fell on his ass bone, which is part of the pelvic region of the skeletal. Okay. So the ass bone's connected to the pelvic bone. The pelvic bone's connected to the spine bone. the spine bones connected to the thigh bones. Hear the word of the Lord. That's a real song. I don't know why. It's called Them Bones. From the 281, it's an Ask Alon Anything Friday. Out with an ass bruise, this 281er points out. Yeah, he's got a butt. He's got a big old butt bruise, you know?
Butt hurt.
Ah! It's funny because that's his butt hurt. And hurt sounds like lur. There you go. What else do we have on an Ask Alon Anything Friday? We're going to have a small segment to wrap up. From Eric the Driver, Paul, would you ever go up and announce a Texans third-round pick? Well, honestly, they can't possibly go any lower than they've gone before with, listen, I don't want to shame a man for his profession, okay? But sketch a person who plays Madden online and cosplays as if he's autistic, who also used to do gay porn on OnlyFans, like, that's someone who's announced the picks before. They can only go up. Even me, even my stupid ass with my, so mean, my possible parents looking like cousins. Even my ugly ass on stage, okay? That's an upgrade from sketch.
It's a lot of ass talk.
Owen Daniels is announcing the picks tonight. Good for Owen Daniels. I saw Owen Daniels at a bar a couple of weeks ago, and I was like, you're Owen Daniels. What's up?
And he said, yes, I am.
Yeah. I think he was happy to be recognized.
Sure,
he was a good player. Good dude.
He was a very good player.
The most interactive sports talk show in Houston, 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. It's an Ask a Lot Anything Friday. What else happened at the first round of the NFL draft? Why is Shedeur Sanders still on the board? And are the Jaguars crazy for trading all that to get Travis Hunter? That and more. Stick around the Paul Gallant Show.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Your home for Texas A&M athletics is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Kick 'em. The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
On an Ask Gallant Anything Friday, not an Ask Gallant Anything Friday text, just because we're talking about Jimmy Butler's deep glute contusion, which has his status in jeopardy for tomorrow night's Rockets-Warriors Game 3, does not mean it's an Ask Gallant Anything show. The Texans made no pick in the first round of the NFL draft last night. They had pick 25. They traded it to the Giants for pick 34, pick 99, a second and third round pick, and a 2026 third rounder. They have five picks tonight, two second rounders, the second on the board for tonight, and they have three third rounders. We'll see what they do with them. What else happened in the NFL draft? Let's just roll through everything that you need to know. First off, Cam Ward went first overall to the Titans. I was made aware on our YouTube channel that even though the Titans have retired number one for Warren Moon when he was a Houston Oiler, Warren Moon has considered allowing the Titans to unretire his number so that Cam Ward can wear it. I think it's important to note that if you were watching the draft last night, the Titans' number one on their jersey might be backwards. Very interesting with their weird font in Titan blue, because that's now their primary color, because they were annoyed that the Texans incorporated H-Town blue as a accent. Always thinking about the Houston Texans, Sean Mapes.
Yes, and I don't think it's good that I don't know if the one is backwards. Always like that.
I don't know either.
So either you designed it to always look like it's backwards.
I bet they did.
Or it doesn't look like that, and it just so happens the one that you give the number one pick in the draft, it looks like that.
Either way,
it's not great.
It's exactly what you expect out of this organization. So, good luck, Cam Ward. I don't care how talented you are. That's a rough situation to be in. After all, they fired Mike Vrabel because he was flirting with the Patriots when the Patriots inducted him into their Ring of Honor. The Jaguars traded up to the number two overall pick to take Travis Hunter. They gave up a lot. We're going to play some James Gladstone, Jaguars GM audio, a little bit later in the show. But the Browns, they get the fifth overall pick, a second round pick tonight, a fourth round pick tomorrow, and a first round pick in 2026. That's a lot. I don't think the Jaguars are getting that much better by bringing in Travis Hunter. I think Hunter's going to be good. Very curious as to how they use him. But Travis Hunter's not saving Trevor Lawrence. I think Lawrence is unfixable, and I think it's important to note that the guy's dealing with a shoulder injury going into this season and already had accuracy issues as a quarterback. So I think that was a lot. And, I mean, they got to fix their offensive line in front of Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the Brian Thomas Jr., Travis Hunter combo, like, that should do it.
That's great, but guess what? The Texans had a lot of weapons last year. Yeah. In fact, more, and their offensive line stunk, and also C.J. Stroud's clearly better than Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
So, this is just something to keep in mind. Other things of note that happened in the first round. The Raiders took Ashton Jeanty, which I think is hilarious because Pete Carroll loves drafting running backs in the first round. It used to make Seahawks fans so mad because Seahawks fans are know-it-alls. I did cover the Seahawks up in Seattle. They'd even admit it. And now he's got no one to push back on him taking a first-round running back because who's going to push back on Pete Carroll? Everyone in Vegas is just thankful that they have a competent coach that people recognize running the show.
Yeah, Mark Davis, while he's been the owner of the Raiders, has been the guy who basically just wants to give – control to one guy and just be like, there
take
you go.
It. Just take it from me.
I trust you to just do whatever you want with it. And to not only drink, because what? They drafted, was it Penny in the first round? Rashad Penny? The Seahawks did back in the day. And that was, what, in the 20s if they did that? Right, Paul?
I think so.
Maybe it might have been like 30 or something. But they... That's a long way from drafting guy number 6 overall.
Right, exactly.
that people are like, I'm not sure if this was actually what a good value here.
Whatever. I mean, Pete Carroll wants his running back. You're not getting a quarterback this year. Okay, take the best player available. See what happens. But they do need to get themselves a quarterback.
And it does seem like they're looking to compete very soon. Which obviously they hired a coach in the 70s.
More news from round one of the NFL draft. We'll get through it really quickly. The two guys the Texans were linked to, Kelvin Banks, Tyler Booker, both of those guys off the board well before the Texans were thinking that they would be. The Texans did try to trade up with the Dallas Cowboys for that 12th spot, but Kelvin Banks Jr. goes to the Saints. Tyler Booker from Alabama, the Will Anderson of the Bama offense, went to the Cowboys. Penn State tight end Tyler Warren went to the Colts. He's supposedly the best tight end available. I know that 10th overall, we saw the Michigan tight end, Copeland, go off the board. I don't know who the better tight end is going to be. I do know that the Colts need more than a tight end, right? Like, oh, is a tight end going to make Anthony Richardson like football again? Honestly, I wonder if Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones would be better suited as tight ends. Jackson Dart, the Giants took him after they took that pick from the Texans with a trade, trading 3 picks to get that pick. I do think it's a reach. I don't think much of Jackson Dart. And I think if you're the Giants and you're Brian Daboll or you're Joe Shane, you're trying to save your job. Like, hey, you make this move, but is this actually going to save them? Shedeur Sanders still on the board. And people are crapping on the Falcons, who traded up with the Rams a lot more to move up, giving up a second-round pick and a first-round pick to move back into the first round to pick James Pierce Jr. So there you go. That's the first round of the NFL draft in a nutshell. Everything not Texans related. It's the Paul Gallant Show on an Ask Gallant Anything Friday. Stick around.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.